Hi, this is Name Goes Here from Blog Goes Here, and you're listening to... What?
Use your own name.
Oh, sorry. Hi, this is Mairdred from Treebound Cat, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
My soldiers, rise and fight once more.
Ah, you've made it. Sit down, relax. Would you like a cup of coffee?
What are you doing, Fim?
I'm making sure our guests are comfortable.
But Fim.
Yeah, Bri?
They're our virtual guests. They're listening to the podcast.
Oh, really? Oh, then I guess I can't give you coffee. Get your own. Oh. Okay. Now with that out of the way, Bri, why don't you tell all of our virtual guests why they are here?
Well, we've called you all here today for some important news.
Ooh, what's the news?
Today's episode 27!
That's the news. I thought it was going to be something like, this is episode 27 of the Twisted Nether Blogcast, where each week we bring you the best of WoW from across the internether. It is December 14, 2008, and we've got a great show for you.
That would be important news, eh?
Yeah, well, I guess we better get to the real news this week.
Hi, this is Bellwether from Four Hails. It's time for Twisted News of the Week, right now.
Where to go? What to do? So many choices that all end in pain. End in death.
Alright, so this week, there's been some cool things happening this week.
Yeah.
Sex changes are now available.
Woohoo!
actually, the re-customization for characters is now available via your account manager for a paltry $15.
That's it?
Yeah. And it comes, actually, it's very cool because it comes with an optional name change if you want to do this whole, like, reinvention of yourself in your tune. So the cool thing is that you can actually change the sex of your tune, the whole, like, character setup, like their face and color and all that stuff, but you can't change the race or the class. So if you're a pally, a dwarf pally, you can't become a dwarf warrior. You just have to stay a dwarf. You have to stay a pally, but you can be a female dwarf because we know how cool they are. If you're a male one, and you can get braids if you want and change their hair color and all that stuff. So
yes.
I know that I'm going to be using this very soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm giving Bri a tan.
Ah.
Yeah.
Just too white.
Yeah, you know, like, I've said this before on the cast a number of times, and people are probably tired of me talking about it, but when I made Bri, I did not expect to level her, so I didn't really pay attention to her skin color and stuff, and I made her too pastely. She's very white. And
so she's like a death knight.
Yeah, but without the cool eyes. Though she does have the awesome braids, so it makes up for it. But she's too pale for me. I am olive skin naturally, so seeing somebody that white just makes me want to throw them in the sun and let them bake for a little bit. So I've been saying it for years that I wanted to give her a tan, and now I can. So tomorrow, actually, I'll be doing it. I don't know. Nice. If I want to change her face, though, I think I might just leave that the same. So I'm trying to justify the $15 to myself because all I'm going to be doing is changing her hair color. Not the hair color, the skin color. Because I'm not going to take the name change. And I don't know if I'm going to do the plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? Are you going to use it?
Probably not. My only reason to do it would be if I really wanted to change any of the female tunes I had to male tunes.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the ones I have. The one thing that to me it seems is that there's really no reason to do just the name change anymore. Like, it's the same price, right?
Well, the name change is $10.
Oh, okay. So it's extra $5.
It's an extra $5 to be able, well, look, it's an extra $5 this is the thing that makes me kind of nervous, right? Because I remember when you could change your name and that people started changing their names left and right and you didn't know who it was because suddenly somebody was named Bubba was now named like Sonathar or something like that. So, so you didn't like it. People who were like ninjas or people who wanted to get away from everybody, they would change their total identity, you know? So this is even taking a step further because you may recognize a toon, you know, a certain person running under a guild name or whatever, and then suddenly like, they're completely different. It's like if they're being relocated in Azeroth, they're being paid to go into the witness protection program.
Well, I think that you probably kind of happened with the haircut stuff. Like even just the haircut is enough to like change.
Yeah,
how someone looks because you get facial hair if you're a male, and you know that can really make a difference there. So I don't think this is that going to make it that much different than that. You know, yes, you can change more things, but the customization in WoW is spectacular anyway. Well, yeah, but that's besides the point.
That's like, if I'm used to running around with you being this big hulking, I don't know, Tauren, you know, with like big bulging muscles, and the next time I see you, you have breasts, I'm going to be confused. I'm going to be confused.
Yeah, well.
The thing is that, like, and this is a question that I'll throw out there that somebody can blog about it, okay? This is a potential blog post to anybody out there. And if you want to write about it and you don't have a blog, you can feel free to send it to me, and if I like it, I'll post it on my blog. But what are the ramifications, okay, that you associate, because I know I do, and I know that other people do as well, you associate certain people with their avatars, right? With their characters. Their characters look a certain way. And you associate that character with that person on the other end. They are the gateway in your mind visually to that person on the on vent or whatever. And let's say that somebody who's a male in real life, right, who has a male character, suddenly comes up to you with that character and says and shows up as a female, completely different appearance and a different name. Wouldn't that be jarring? That would throw me completely off.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, the weird thing has been, like, you know, we were raiding a lot before Wrath came out, and there's one of the warlocks, you know, had all that gear that made him look like a Smurf or whatever. okay, I just pissed off a whole bunch of warlocks. But anyway, they looked like warlock Smurfs. Anyway, he was a gnome. You know, the tall ones don't look like Smurfs. They look like Azrael. Whatever his name is.
Look like Smurfs.
The gnomes look like Smurfs. Anyway, so he, you know, upgraded his gear from that, and the gear was no longer that cool, like glowy, bluey thingy. And I didn't know who he was. I don't have nameplates up all the time because there's just too many all over the place. So unless I mouse over somebody, I don't know who they are, or if I know who they are. And so I'm looking at him like, who is that gnome? Because I don't know who that is. There's no gnome that looks like that in the guild. What? Who is that gnome? They're new. It's an eight, level 80 or whatever. And he's not, I don't know who that is. And then I roll. I'm like, oh, that's what he looks like under the clothes. It's like, okay. So, I mean, that's just as bad. Like your gear changes and all of a sudden you look completely different. So, you know, I confused some people when I switched from the hairdo I had to a mohawk because I wanted to be a night elf mohawk like Mr. T.
But that's exactly. That's not even as radical
as
changing the complete sex.
Yeah, you'll get used to it. I think the nice thing is that for people like say you are a guy that created a female tune and you decide you don't like doing it, you know, that is uncomfortable, or you're a female that created a male tune and you find it uncomfortable or difficult to play or whatever. I think that's really where this is geared.
Yeah.
You know, they're really pointing this toward, okay, well, you created a female, but you're now like, you know, I don't like that. It's really playing with him a lot. And I'd like I'd like him to be my gender. Or the opposite gender. Maybe you don't want it to be that. So I think that's a good thing to give that option. It's once again, it's not game changing. Like, there's nothing you get because you're a female or a male. And there's nothing you get because you look a certain way. So, but you know, if it was like you could change your race, that would be bad. Yeah, I mean, if it was like you could change your race, that would be bad. Because, you know, everybody would switch to dwarves. I'm looking for kudo points right there.
That's right.
So, you know, you got, you know, then everybody go to one race and everybody, it would be kind of lonely in the Night of Elf lands. But anyway, yeah, maybe everybody would switch to Draenei because, you know, you get the plus hit, you know, that's, it might be worth it just for that. But I think that this is, you know, the cosmetic changes, you know, you get used to it. So when, oh, they changed to female, well, you know, give me a few days and I'm used to it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's because I'm more of a creature of habit, and I really, I really identify people's characters with them in the sense of, like, you know, you call people by their character names, you identify with them by their character names, and I have a hard time adjusting to a lot of changes with that character, you know? So having the option where, like, somebody that I'm used to calling Bubba, and he shows up and it's Bubba Pixie, I'll be like, it's going to take me a long time. I remember when there was this paladin that we knew in the guild. He left, he went to another guild and everything, but he would hang out in ours, and he had one name, and then one day he just changed it to this really strange name for a paladin that was like some really important paladin from like the 18th century or not the 800s or whatever. And nobody could pronounce it, right? And we kept calling him by his old name because it was like, we can't switch over to this.
That's who you are.
It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like a nickname. The name stick and the perception of that tune, the way that tune looks, sticks with you.
Yep.
You know
what I would like to see is Anna from Too Many Annas do one of the gender changes on one of her tunes role play it.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Doesn't she have a male one that she didn't like or something?
I don't know. But really, how can she justify the fact that the tune has been switched over?
It's magic.
What, though? You give me another good idea, another blog post for our peers out there.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you deal with the fact that of somebody who's a male or a female and then switching to the opposite gender?
Ratters.
Yeah, well, geez, ratters. But like, how would that happen? And how would you be able to play that out and say, this is a life choice or whatever? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
How can we do it?
Never know.
Yeah, never.
Ratters will find a way.
All right, I guess we'll deal with it. We'll move on.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's kind of funny is, you know, you say, oh, well, how would it happen? Well, one of the, there was a post at some point somewhere, I think it was in the forums, about someone was saying, oh, you've got crystallized water. Okay, we understand that. You got crystallized air. Okay, we kind of understand that. Well, how do you get crystallized fire? And a GM came back, or a community manager came back and said, it's magic.
You know what?
Which is perfect.
You know how you can say that you're having a sex change without, you know, being all funky? It could be a gnome transporter malfunction.
Yeah, that's it. It's all the gnome's fault.
It's all the gnome's fault.
It became permanent.
It's engineering. It's like a bad science experiment.
Could be a goblin blow up problem.
Yeah, well, one of those transporters. The engineers. The engineers do it.
There you go. It's the actual thing that happens, you walk through one of those and boom. You're all done. Anyway, okay.
So that's
enough on that.
Yeah, enough on that. 3.0.8 hit the PTR. And with it came something that I know that you're very excited about, Fim.
Yes. Yes, I can make a Death Knight and ignore it on some other server.
Yeah.
I can delete the Death Knight I created on mine that I'm not going to transfer. And I can create one on, I think I was going to, the idea was going to create one on the server where Ratshag is, Horde side, at some point. But I'm not going to play anything else right now. So I like it. I'm excited that it's happening. It's cool. I can create a higher level tune to visit people mm-hmm. when I want to, but like on your server, I could yep. create one, which I was planning on doing.
Yep.
I can get rid of that little hunter I have and create a Death Knight. Maybe I'll use the same name. Great name for a Death Knight. And, yeah, that would be kind of cool because then I could do a little bit more, stuff on there.
Yep.
And, you know, spread my Death Knights across the universe. So that'll be cool. The only thing I'm not looking forward to is the other stuff that's in the patch.
Oh, I know. Yeah, about the hunters. And actually, I'm not too happy, not just with my hunter, but also Priest got hit slightly with the Nerf bat with a cold circle of healing. We have
the cooldown.
A 6-second cooldown now, which, yeah. You know, yeah, well, it's been highly debated, so it's not just, yeah, well, I won't get into it. But yeah, the yeah. Nerf bat hit hunters hard. It's been rippling through the blogosphere.
for the last week. I'm not that concerned. I mean, my DPS is pretty high. My thing is, you know, I'll keep my spec. I actually have to respec anyway. I'm not spec'd for raiding. I'm spec'd for questing. So that my pet has additional armor and health and stuff. If it turns out that my Beastmaster Hunter is not performing up to par for whatever reason after this patch, I'll take a look at respecing back to Marksman and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Cause I liked Marksman mm-hmm. before. And, you know, if that improves things, because, you know, they're not nerfing, you know, all the little Chimera shot tricks and traps and things. Readiness is getting done, but that's only if you got readiness with Beastmaster that it would matter.
Right.
The only thing that would be a problem, of course, I would lose the extra 4 points on the pets, but it's not that important comparatively, at that point. The main idea would be to remove the pet from being a third of my damage down to the normal marksman amount, which is probably more like a tenth, of the total damage.
Mm-hmm.
So, that would be the idea. We'll have to see. I would miss it because I'm really enjoying Beastmaster because of the ability for me to really, you know, I could take even my ferocity pet out and just ram through things. So.
Okay. Yeah, we had one of our BM hunters go survival, actually. He did us the favor when we went into Nax because we had no replenishment whatsoever. And he said, oh, I'll go spec survival. And after he respec'd, that's when we found out about the upcoming nerfs. And he said, yeah, I'll just stay survival for now. And he says he's enjoying it so far, that he thinks he's going to get a lot more DPS out of it than he thought. So we'll see.
Yeah, it is a viable spec for DPS. Yeah. The main thing is that for BM, at least, having the pet have those significant damage increases was big change. Not that big change for BM, but they really still did pretty well. Marksman survival do better in terms of mana management, I believe.
Yeah.
So what else? Oh, well, what did you guys do anything this week?
Well, yeah. Yes and no.
Good things, bad things.
Yeah, we got into Nax. We downed Patchwork and the first guy in the Spider Wing. And
those are hard.
Yeah, and it was good. It was challenging. Patchwork was very challenging because a lot of us didn't have any heroic gear. The most geared people there, thankfully, were our tanks and one of our healers, which was a Pally, and I was the second healer, so we were healing our booties off in Patchworks, which was very intense, very interesting, and exhilarating, and I had a great time, even though it took us a little while to get there. But overall, it was really fun, and then we had a blow in the guild. Because two of the tanks of our most geared tanks decided that they wanted to go for greener pastures, which is fine. So they left and they went to more raiding intensive guilds than ours. And so we're sort of on a hiatus at the moment because we're waiting for people to level up to 80 and get geared so that we can go back in. So that's thankfully though, 3 tanks hit 80 this weekend. So we just have to get them geared up and stuff. So I think we'll be able to get back in pretty soon, maybe next couple weeks. And then start up again. So, yeah. So, but what about you? I heard that you guys went in again and finally started killing things.
Yes, yes, yes. We finally started killing things. The first time we went into Naxx, we had nobody that was geared with heroics. I think the main idea was to try to get in there so that people weren't getting upset or whatever, that we weren't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our guild has decided that January 2nd, I believe, is the day we're going to try for a 25 man.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we're going to be the official runs, we're going to really push for it to being only 25 man.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back again to Naxx this week, I think we went Friday. Oh no, you know what? I forgot. Thursday we went. And we went to the Obsidian Sanctum. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Thursday or Friday. I think it was Thursday. That was awesome. It was pretty easy. The little mini bosses, there's anyone who hasn't been in there, there's 3 little dragons. That's a little, drakes or whatever. 3 mini bosses that have less than 1 million hit points that you have to kill. Each one of them creates a little portal every so often. 2 of them create one dragonkin inside that you have to kill, and then you come out of the portal and you go back to the boss. Those went really easily. Then there's one of them that creates eggs inside the portal, and then when the portal closes, I guess they hatch and they're whelps and they attack people. On that one, we just blasted through. We had the off tank go ahead and off tank those and just blasted through it and killed the boss, the mini boss, pretty quick. And the whelps despawn. Then you go and you attack the boss. I think we got it down in 2 shots.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we kind of didn't get the way though these lava waves come over and die pretty quick. Second time, actually it looked like we were going to wipe the last second, but me and a shaman were left standing, DPS shaman, and we killed the boss. And of course there were a couple ads left. And they were banging on me, and I didn't have my pet, and we just had the shaman and me, and I feigned. And he died. I was a jerk.
Yeah,
if jerk. You read my blog, I was a jerk. But you know what? I won. I was the last man standing.
And you know what sucks about that, right? Is that, yeah.
He could have rezzed everybody.
You feigned, and then you just stare at the dead bodies.
Yeah, of course.
You're like, I mean, oh, yeah. Sorry.
The problem is, though. The problem is that I would have died because I didn't have a lot of health left. Like, we both were like on the rocks.
You should have died. So, and you should have come back running like everybody else.
No, because then it would have been a death wipe, and we can't. I mean, a kill wipe. We can't have a kill wipe. We had to have somebody survive. So I survived. So it was not a kill wipe.
Oh really? Is that the justification?
I
don't care.
No, so I didn't have to run back. That's the only reason I did it. I didn't have to repot or anything. It was great. But anyway, so that was great. And then we decided to go ahead. And since we did so well in that so quickly, which we didn't expect, we ran into Naxx. And we got past that first spider boss, which had been giving us a boatload of problems. Mm-hmm. Moved through. And then over the next couple days, we finished the spider wing pretty easily. All the bosses except for that first one, you know, were like cake for us. Even though we've never seen them before, we usually two-shot them. Hmm?
The one that looks like a beetle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a new Bacon.
Yeah, that's the one that we got down that night.
Yeah, he was, our strategy we used this week was much better. Mm-hmm. It just worked out. So we did that, and then we moved on, and all the rest of the bosses were pretty easy. We two-shot all of them, if not one shot. I think they all were two-shot, though, so we learned the fight the first wipe and then killed it. After that one, we went to it's the Plague Wing. That's what it is. I think I thought it was the Disease or something wing. Plague Wing was next after that,
mm-hmm.
And that was pretty easy. We got that. Lothub was very strange. So much hit points. Oh my gosh. It has like 6 million hit points or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long fight. And it's a fight where the healers can only heal 3 seconds out of like 15.
Wow.
So every 15 seconds, they can only heal 3 or something like that. And it's just crazy. You have to time all your heals so that you basically what happens is it's not that you can't heal. It's that when you cast a heal, it doesn't do anything. Okay. So you can cast a heal, but if it goes off during the time that this debuff is on, it doesn't do anything. So the healers had to time all their casts to this timer on the thing so that like if it was like Prayer of Mending that takes like 3 seconds to cast or whatever, then or I don't know. Prayer I don't healing. Remember. Prayer of Healing. I don't know. There's some of them that do, yeah, healing, not mending. Mending's a single, you know, frisbee. Whatever the cast is some kind of 3 second cast. So if it's 3 second cast, you cast it like when there's 2¾ seconds left before the buff comes off, the debuff comes off. Mm-hmm. So once they got that down, it went pretty well. It just takes so long. It's just a really, really long fight. And then we went to the, I don't even know what it's called. It's one with the first boss is like a death knight that's got apprentices or something. And, you have to mind control the apprentices to tank him. And, the tanks had a blast with that one. That was really fun. And we got him down and then we called it a night and we hadn't been back yet, but tomorrow we're going back and we're going to start with Patchwork, I believe, and cool. do that wing and then go back and do the other two bosses. I think the four horsemen are at the end of the one with the Death Knight. And then hopefully maybe even kill the big boss. We'll see how quickly we can get through.
That'd be great.
So, yeah, that's it. I mean, we had a great time. We were getting a lot of stuff. Oh, I got some kind of javelin speary thing. A really good one. I don't remember what it's called. But I picked that up. Was one of the drops, which was awesome. It was an upgrade from the one I had from the Ring of Blood type thing in Zul'drak. I had the spear from that, and I upgraded to this one, which was awesome.
Cool. Awesome.
So
yeah, I had gotten the ring. That was
cool, so I got something.
That was my big upgrade.
yeah, that thing was good. So anyway, we're heading back in Monday night, and we'll see.
Cool.
Anything else? Well, I did hit Leatherworking 440 finally. Woo. I don't want to say how much I spent on Arctic Furs. Actually, I found some that were pretty cheap on the auction house today. Yeah. So, just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Just gave in.
Yeah, I just wanted to get to 440, get it done. I don't need to go any farther than 440 because there's nothing you can make that requires to be 450 at this point or 445.
Yeah.
440 is where I can make the giant meme pieces, which look pretty good, like pretty good upgrades for me.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I just have to get all the mats together for them. Right. Six Eternals of this and 6 Eternals of that. I do have the Frozen Orbs already. I've got 2 of them stored up.
Cool.
Good luck. So that's all that's been going on.
Yeah.
Trying to think if there's any other real WoW news, because what we do isn't particularly real. I don't know. It's just the patch. I mean, the PTR, it's been the big news all week. I guess we'll see what comes out of it. You know, I mean, they've been making changes and stuff. There's some new items and things have changed around, buffs and debuffs and blah, 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 buffs and nerfs. And so, yeah, extra graveyards in the old world. Stuff like that. But read the patch notes. It's pretty cool. Even with the nerfs, there's some other cool features, things coming out. So, keep an eye. And, next up, we have our interview with the Stoppable Force's own Quicklin.
I'm not going to say the name. I'll say
Yes. Stop. Stop is coming up. So,
I didn't care about tuned. Stop. I wouldn't give him a nickname.
That's true.
See?
We only do it because Bree can't say your name. No.
Okay. Well, enjoy. It was a great enjoy interview, so enjoy.
We'll talk to you on the other side.
This is Andrea from Altaholics R Us, and this week's Twisted Nether blog is...
I can't do that. I need permission first.
So this week's Twisted Blog of the Week is Stop from the Stoppable Force. Technically, it's not Stop, it's Quicklin, but I'm going to call him Stop from here on out. So Stop is... Well, this is from the About page. The Stoppable Force is one person, primarily Quicklin. The full Stoppable Force is his undead warlock, the Death Knight, a hunter, who he doesn't play very often, and a priest. And most of the Stop of Force doesn't belong to a guild, but Quicklin is a guild of Fatalis?
Yes.
Yeah. And yes, the blog is named after everyone's favorite two, Gold Hammer. And said, welcome to the show, Stop.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes. Yes, much. There's going to be much discussions about Death Knight Knightering.
Death Knighting?
Death Knighting. And,
Death Knightery.
And lock Death. Goodness.
Death so, Knigging, I guess.
There are no healers or druids or hunters, because he doesn't really play as hunter on the show today. So everybody None. Will be happy. Yeah, we're constantly like, I love the show, but could you like bring people that aren't healers or hunters? And I'm like, yeah, we're trying, I'm sorry. Anyway, that's neither here or there. So Stop. The first question that we ask everybody. You know what, Finn? We really should do it like a game show. Yeah. It should start out like, hey, here are the first two really easy questions that everybody gets. Yes. And then we move on to the tougher stuff. The specialized. Yes.
Well, I did say, I think one of the weeks I said that these are the first questions are easy, and then the points really get
hard.
Greater if you get along to the harder questions. Double Jeopardy is coming up next.
Would you like to risk it all?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Seriously, though. So Stop. When did you start blogging?
Well, in general, I've been blogging since about 1999. I've just run personal blogs on and off. I had to stop for a while because of college, because I was way too busy to focus on silly things like writing on the internet. About WoW specifically, I've only been blogging since about September.
Okay.
What prompted you to start the WoW blogging?
Well, when I get into things, I really like to consume information outside of them. Like, I'm not someone who started playing WoW, and the only time I interact with WoW is when I log in, and when I log out, I'm done. So I'd been reading a lot of, I guess you would call them the big-name sites, Big Bear Butt, BRK, WoW Insider, Resto for Life. And I was on Resto for Life and I actually saw that little button down there for Blog Azeroth, and I thought, huh, what's this? And I had a few hours to kill at work. Shh, don't tell my boss. And I clicked the button and went to Blog Azeroth, and I said, holy crap, there's all these people and they all have blogs and I can do that. I like WoW and, you know, I'll try it, and if it doesn't work out, then I'll quit after a month. But I felt like there really, and also kind of felt like there wasn't a lot of Warlock coverage out there. I now know I'm wrong, but I hadn't actually seen a single Warlock blog at the time, and really not a lot of Horde bloggers, which still seems to be the case. Horde seems to be in the minority. So I felt I had kind of a, I guess, a unique-ish perspective to offer, so that's when I started blogging.
Cool, cool. So then how long have you been playing WoW, and is it your first MMO?
WoW is not my first MMO. I have actually played WoW twice. Back in March 04, when Final Fantasy XI was online, was released for the PS2, I started playing that because my computer was kind of crappy, so I wanted to try this MMO thing, but I had to have something I could use with a PS2. So, I played Final Fantasy XI on and off for about 5 years, and it's kind of a really tough game. Mm-hmm. I probably have to put even more time into getting through it than I do in WoW. So I played that on and off. I played City of Heroes. I played EVE Online. And in 2005, a friend of mine who I'd gone to college with and I'd lost touch with got back in touch with me, and we were talking, and she said, hey, I'm playing World of Warcraft now. I'm on this server. You should try it. And I said, well, I haven't tried it yet, and I was on a break from everything else, so I installed WoW. Played it for about 6 months, and this is back when WoW was actually incredibly difficult. at least I thought so at the time, because it was just completely new from anything that I'd tried. So in 05, I played WoW for about 6 months, right in the middle of the year. Then I ended up quitting, because I was just like, this is too much effort for me. I have stuff to do. And then last Christmas, I was out shopping the day after Christmas, and I was in a GameStop, and I ran across the WoW Battle Chest, the one that has the Burning Crusade and the original game both for $20. And I said, well, you know, why not? Because I just built this new PC, and I was looking for something to do with it. So technically, I started playing WoW for the second time in January of this year.
Okay.
That's good. So, although you've told us already before we started, how do you pronounce your warlock's name?
Yes, my warlock's name on the record is pronounced Quecklin. That's with an E. I notice a lot of people misspell it with an A, so I'll just set the record straight here.
So, did you...
Really now, stop. Really. Did you be nitpicking about the E?
Yes. Did you choose the name, or is it like from the random name generator or something?
That name is one that I chose.
Enlighten us. What does it mean?
Yes, it is actually a... it is actually from a video game. It is a villain from Final Fantasy Tactics for the PlayStation 1.
Wow.
I played that, but I don't remember the names of the villains.
Yeah, he was the very first major boss in the game. It's actually a corruption of an Irish folk hero whose name I definitely can't pronounce.
Okay, so what about the other tunes? You said that, before we started the interview, you said that two were generated and two have meaning. So which is the other one that has a meaning?
Okay, the other one that has a meaning is my Death Knight. Uh-huh. I did a little kind of RP-ish post about 2 weeks before 2 weeks before Wrath came out, when I finally settled on her name, which is pronounced Zul'Fan. Zul is, you know, the generic troll prefix that I'm sure we're all more than familiar with right now, but it basically just refers to, like, something great or a leader of some kind in the...
Okay.
And Fawn is apparently... This is going off WoW Wiki's article on the troll language. Fawn is a suffix for an outcast from troll society.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it had a whole little RP background thing to go with it. It kind of came to me one day, and I was like, I have to write this while it's in my head. I have to put it on the blog, and then I haven't done anything with it since.
Nice.
So you mentioned that the RP, now you're on Feathermoon, and
yes.
Feathermoon is a RP server, so
yes.
Do you RP yourself while you're on the server?
Well, there's I'm sure Anna's going to shoot me for this. There is a running joke about Feathermoon that despite this strong community that, you know, is on like third party sites and everything, there's a running joke that there's no RP on Feathermoon. which is true. If you rolled a tune on Feathermoon and you were coming from a PvE or PvP server, you would think, did they mislabel this server? You know, other servers, people start saying stuff on trade chat, like, you know, just start using the abbreviations, and people start nitpicking at them, and the double parentheses, and the whole thing. People trying to be in character all the time. There's almost none of that on Feathermoon, on Horde side. If you want to roleplay, you're in an RP guild. But basically, I'm there just because of the people I know, and like I'm not in an RP guild, and none of my close, constant contacts really roleplay. I'm not like adverse to it. I don't think it's stupid. I actually think it's kind of cool when people put the effort into it. I just don't do it myself.
Okay.
So, next question. So, according to you, to your WoW code, it seems your Death Knight is your new main. How did that happen?
Have a completely by accident. I was, much like everybody else, I got Wrath and I went, hey, new class. This is new and interesting because, side note, I'm a little bit of an alcoholic. I've actually rolled and played up to 21 of every class except Mage at this point. which actually now I'm thinking about after starting to read Mage blogs more often. But anyway.
And they're getting buffed too.
Yeah. I know. but I think a Frost Mage would be really neat. But no, I started my Death Knight because it was new and it was interesting and I'd heard about this whole epic starting area thing and I'd read about their rune and rune of power system and I thought this kind of sounds like everything I like about warriors, but fixed the parts that I don't like about warriors. And I didn't really expect it to stay new and exciting because, I mean, if you look at the selection of my other alts, I pretty much play casters, or people who stand back from melee. Mm-hmm. So the DK is actually my first alt who runs up into the thick of battle and, you know, hits things with weapons. I don't know, I just kind of took over because it's a really fun class to play.
So, but, okay, it's a fun class to play, but what made that transition from your lock to her being your main?
That's a good question. I did play my lock a few, you know, for a while initially. I took him up to Howling Fjord, and I played through the, played through the, some of the starting quests.
Gave him eyes.
And, pardon?
You gave him eyes.
Yeah. And,
didn't get that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, didn't he have that cross thing on his face?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did that as soon as 3.0 hit. Oh, I was tired of looking at the GIMP mask. I gave him some nice glowy eyes. Mm-hmm. It looks like a leather GIMP mask. It's weird.
Yeah, okay.
But he got a formerly human hairdo, and he got some eyes, and then he went up to Howling Fjord and he did some quests. Mm-hmm. And for a while, for the first few days, I was going back and forth. You know, I'd play my Death Knight for a while, and I'd play my Warlock for a while, and then the next day I'd play my Death Knight for a while. And it just eventually, I realized, you know, I was spending entire nights playing my Death Knight, and I might only log on my Warlock long enough to tailor something for somebody or pick up some cloth that I had mailed to myself. Which is another weird thing that I can get to later when we talk about skills, but, or any. I'm pretty sure the cloth gathering skill is bunk. My warlock gets like no cloth from anything, but my death knight is constantly running across it. So it was just pretty much a time thing. I found myself spending more time with the death knight, and then I went, you know, at this point, and then we had a raid meeting, and they said your death knight's going to be the one you raid with, right? And I said, well, I guess it is now.
A decision made for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Having that little get over here thing actually comes in really handy. We had a death knight in our run we did tonight in Nax, and to pull the adds over to the off tank, that works out pretty nice.
Oh yeah, it's I've been using it. The one where I got the most use out of it was in Halls of Lightning, the you know, the second boss who periodically runs off to his forge and then he comes back and he has little exploding adds. What I would do is I would run away from everybody else and death grip one of the adds over to me and just kill it over there. And so that was one less place that people had to run away from when he decided to shatter everything.
Yep.
So. Cool. But it's been kind of a big change because I have to remember that I, you know, need to go stand up where the tank is. For the first few instances I ran, I was like hanging around back by the you know, the priests and the hunters, and then I went, wait a minute, no, then I have to run all the way up there, so now I have to keep telling myself, stick close to the tank. He's going to pull things and you need to hit them. Because unlike most of the other melee classes, that's one thing that I have noticed in instances, we don't have any way to get to a battle quickly. Death Knights kinda had the reverse of that. They're able to bring a battle to them, but they don't have like a, you know, a sprint or a charge or anything like that. So,
yep, makes sense. So when your Death Knight hits 80, then you're planning on doing raiding and heroics and such.
Yep, we our guild has always been kind of small, and it's because a bigger guild on Feathermoon apparently splintered a year or two ago, and so there are a bunch of smaller guilds that came out of that. We're teaming up with one of the other ones that we, you know, we're not merging guilds, we're just doing a guild alliance to try and do 25 mans. Uh-huh. And we're actually set on tanks, so I'm going to be a DPS Death Knight, it looks like.
Yeah, cool. Uh-huh. Cool. Yep. So for the spec that you have now, I don't know about 80, but what are the things people should look for if they have the same spec in terms of stats, enchants, gems, glyphs? I guess explain which is your spec now.
Okay, well, I've run with everything, but right now I'm unholy. Mm-hmm. I did blood for a while to get through Outland because unholy at the number of talent points that you have in Outland is kind of squishy. But once you get out of Outland, you've got a ton of talent points to work with. Unholy really comes into its own because you got a lot of buttons to press and you got a lot of abilities which are actually going to get buffed soon if everything that they've told us is going, you know, if everything the Blues have said comes true. The one glyph that I would recommend hands down, not even just to Unholy Death Knights, but to any Death Knight to look for in the Auction House, is the Glyph of Death Strike. It is what makes us from being slightly overpowered to incredibly overpowered.
Don't say it too loud.
I know. Don't nerf us, please.
Don't nerf us, bro.
But for every, basically that one, for every 5 runic power you build up, and you're constantly building up runic power anytime you use something that uses a normal rune, Deathstrike does 2% extra healing, but then doesn't consume any runic power. So, like, if your runic power is full, then that's an extra 40% healing on top of what that already heals. Frost Death Knights can actually get that up to 52% if they're talented correctly, which is nuts. This glyph alone, I will credit with me soloing, like, that entire Magnetar quest chain in Deathblight, or in Dragonblight, you know, where you have to kill the 3 Magnetars to force them, or to find somebody, and then you kill the Rune Master, and he tells you who the leader of the new Magnetar Warlord is, and then you go kill him. I soloed all of those, and I credit it to Glyph of Deathstrike. Because it keeps the health, it keeps your health up, and it doesn't consume diseases, and so it just maximizes DPS and survivability at the same time. Any Death Knight listening to this, go get it. It's not that expensive.
So what about stats and stuff? Like, what are you, like, I think everybody pretty much has a Death Knight alt at this point, but, like, mm-hmm. I don't know anything. I don't know what stats are useful to them.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing a post on this, because on top of, you know, I pretty much answered, which buttons do I roll my face on, and now I need to...
Yeah, if you don't know, we'll plug this plug this in real quick. Stop wrote a great post about how to learn how to play a Death Knight instead of rolling your face on the keyboard. So I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but if you missed it, he's the one that wrote it, and he actually updated it. There's a second version now with some tweaks to it. So I will put that link in the show notes so you guys can go look. It's a really good post. I will be using it as soon as Zombri comes out of the catacombs and actually starts getting leveled.
Yeah, it's actually apparently come in handy, and my readers have given me a lot of great stuff. You know, they've been able to go to specs that I don't play a lot, and they say, you know, well, really, most Death Knights with this would use this ability instead of this one in a rotation. I'd look at it and I go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, I'll put that up there. So it's really a great resource, and it's really not just me. It's a lot of my readers, which is a kind of a benefit of having a blog, I think. Instant feedback. So.
Absolutely. So the stats.
Stats, yes. Pretty much the best stats, and not even necessarily in this order because I haven't even started itemizing yet, are strength, stamina, hit, crit, and attack power. Strength is probably one of the best ones because, like warriors, Death Knights get 2 attack power per point of strength. Strength also gives parry if you're a tank or if you just are soloing and want to parry. Stamina is an obvious one. More hit points, you stay alive longer. Hit is good because we actually don't have a talent in any tree, as far as I know, that will increase our melee hit. There is one for Death Knights who want to dual wield because they have an insane amount of like a hit penalty to overcome. And there's one in Unholy that makes spells hit better, because we have a few abilities that are actually considered spells. But as far as actual melee hit goes, we don't have any talents for it. So Death Knights need to make sure that their gear does have hit rating as they're leveling up and they're thinking about gearing up. And crit and attack power are pretty self-explanatory. The one thing I'm gonna harp on this here, because Blizzard puts it on everything. I've even looked and it's on like some of our tier 7, is haste. Haste is on everything in Northrend.
Yeah.
And like, haste is not good for Death Knights because all it does is speed up our melee swings. We have nothing that has a cast time. We have just about everything we have is instant. We have one ability that is on next melee, which is Rune Strike. Other than that, pretty much everything is instant cast. So all haste does is speed up our white damage, which is a minimal part of our damage. So agility is not that great, but take it if you can get it. But look for strength, stamina, hit, crit, and attack power.
Okay, I'll ask one more question and now Finn can take the next one. But just real quick, what's the difference between a Death Knight tank and a warrior tank or whatever? I mean, I know that Death Knights tank, you know, very differently. They tank, they have to have their buffs up in a certain, like, certain rotations, because when the buffs are down, they take a lot of damage. How do Death Knight tanks, like, Death Knights tank, is what I'm trying to say.
Death Knights are unusual because they don't have a shield, and if memory serves, they're actually the first tanking class that doesn't have a shield, so they're kind of an interesting challenge in that one of the defensive abilities just doesn't even apply to them. Death Knight tanking is almost, to me, I've only tanked one or two units to this keeper, but to me it feels a lot like DPSing, which is kind of unusual. Death Knights, the kind of a word for healers. Death Knights can be kind of spiky on the amount of damage that they take, especially if they're trying to tank in Unholy. Frost Death Knights will be a little steadier because they have mitigation talents. They've got things like Lichborn or Icebound Fortitude that increases their strength and their armor, and basically things they can pop to decrease the amount of damage they take. Unholy Death Knights will be very spiky if they're tanking because they have an ability that they have to keep up that reduces their damage by, well, it's 40% now, it's going to be 20%. When that goes down, they're kind of squishy. They're kind of like a DPS.
No, they really are. It's that bone shield, right? That's the thing that they have to keep up. Yeah.
Any Unholy Death Knight who wants to tank pretty much has to take Glyph of Bone Shield just because it adds an extra charge to it.
For healers, yeah. As soon as that thing's gone, be prepared. Throw a big heal on them because they're gonna hit. They're gonna get a lot of damage.
Yeah, especially if you're, because I mean, when you're coming up in instances, these Death Knights obviously are not uncritable because it's impossible for them to be uncritable at that point. So I think once we start getting into end game stuff and we see more Death Knights tanking in raids and in heroics, and they can start hitting that that point in the defense rating where they're uncritable, I think some of that will level out. Mm-hmm. But as you're leveling up, Death Knight tanks take a lot of damage at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, it's true. So. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So your Warlock was your main in Burning Crusade. Now that you have changed your main so far, what are your plans with the Warlock?
I figured that once I get my Death Knight to 80, and you know, I kind of back off on questing with her full time, I'll pretty much just be running heroics and running raids a couple nights a week. I figure I'll start leveling my Warlock to 80, because while obviously I'm pretty excited about the Death Knight right now, there is a lot of stuff to like about the Warlock class still, and on top of that, he's a tailor, and there's a lot of cool stuff in tailoring, like, not, you know, the new BOE gear, the
flying carpet,
obviously the flying carpets, and you know, being able to make spell threads, because I think we've only got one other tailor in one other tailor up that high in our guild, so be kind of a good service for you to be able to provide there.
Mm-hmm.
So
what are some of the Warlock changes that happened with Lich that you are excited about?
All the trees kind of got hit in a different way. Destruction Warlocks got whinier. I mean, Destruction DPS got nerfed. Not really nerfed so much as it just stopped being insanely high, like what Hunters are about to get. I was really excited.
Get hit with the nerf bat again.
Yeah. Oh, yo, this isn't a nerf bat. You guys are getting hit with like a nerf sledgehammer. This I read the list of hunter changes and I just cringed.
I'm like, you know what's funny? I was reading a post by Grizzly from Frost is the New Black, and he's like, "Hunters, I'm sorry."
Oh, I read that today.
I'm sorry I QQ'd so much.
I'm sorry I accused you of being OP. I never meant for this to happen.
It hurts.
Well, we'll
it
see. Hurt sure. me. I mean, the thing is that this is the changes they're making in the PTR. they've been known to make changes and then change them again and make it worse, make it better. Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. Can't really complain too much until it gets to production.
It'll survive. We'll survive. Yeah. We'll change our specs. You know what we need to do is
we need to stack haste and just auto shot. Just AFK auto shot. You stack haste enough, you just get, you know, 0.1 sec auto shots. And just boom, 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 boom.
And it doesn't matter what your spec is.
So what spec were you in BC?
My warlock was demonology. I've been demonology from level 10 to level 70. When I started raiding, I was affliction for a while, but pre-3.0 affliction, it was a great place to get started with raiding because it could cover like 10% of your hit rating with 3 points of a talent. But its DPS was still subpar. Destruction was the way to go to raid in the Burning Crusade before 3.0. Once 3.0 hit, a lot of that evened out. Like, Destruction took a hit. Affliction's DPS went as high as some Destruction. Things like that. It evened out across the board. And Demonology, of course, got neat new toys like Demon Form. Which was pretty much the most... I kept looking at it, and I kept saying, this is so useless, it's like, it's 30 seconds, all it is a damage buff, and then the whole time I was sitting there and I'm going, but I'm going to spec Demonology because I really want to take this thing.
Yes, and it's cool.
It's so fantastic. I actually changed my spec before we went to ZA, and I didn't bother to tell anybody. So I was standing behind one of the hunters, and I had it on a macro, and I just popped Demon Form. And over vent, he screamed. It was...
Ah, what's that?
Yeah, he's like, holy crap, and now... Oh, it's just Q. Hey, you respect. I'm like, yep, I did.
Oh,
did you macro it so it like, says some like crazy thing when you do it?
Yeah, every time I change into it, it says you were not prepared. They're going to call it Illidan form, then I'm going to quote Illidan. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's really fun as long as you don't think of it like shadow form for a priest or one of the new shapeshifts for a druid. If you think of it as a trinket, then it's a really fun ability. And in raids, it's a great DPS boost, and solo, it's a great survivability boost. So...
Makes sense.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing about Wrath for Warlocks is simply the sheer number of talent points that we get, because there were some builds that would have been great before but were impossible because of the number of the limitation on the number of talent points, because we had a level cap of 70. Like Nabuka was, for a while she was leveling up her Warlock with the Siphon Life Soul Link build, the SLSL, which is supposed to be the most survivable warlock build for pretty much anything. And, well, now it can have a fell guard on top of that. So,
she can even be more OP.
Yeah exactly. Nice. So.
So the changes you think have been good, pretty much?
I felt so. I think if I had been a long-time Destruction Warlock, and then they got that little nerf to... Demonic Sacrifice, where it wasn't as good anymore. I think if I'd seen my DPS drop that much, I probably would have been pretty upset.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of liked to play around, and I've been a long time Demonology fan, and I was really glad to see a lot of the changes that came to the Warlock class with 3.0, and I feel they were fairly positive.
Which one of them do you like the least of the changes? At least the ones that matter.
Oh, my least favorite.
Maybe changes that don't matter, really.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I think my least favorite change, although I'll probably get over it now because I'll be leveling and I'll be getting better gear, was the way that they nerfed the talent in Affliction that lets you overcome a lot of the need to stack hit rating on gear. Mm-hmm. Because pre the end of Kara, the start of ZA, the amount of hit that you had to have to hit raid bosses consistently as a spellcaster was nigh impossible. And being able to just take care of 10% of that with 3 talent points was, a great way to get started. And then they went and got rid of that. And of course, then they went and nerfed all the raids into Oblivion, and I didn't stack any more hit, and I was still hitting everything consistently.
Yep.
Yeah, it aren't you happy now that with the new patch that you're going to be able to tap stuff instantly?
Yes, so much, because there was, you had to either choose between something with a cast time or something that was, had a cast time and would do damage instantly, or something that was instant, but you had to hope that nobody hit it before you got that first kick.
Yeah, I remember that happened to me a lot with my mage, and it would piss me off because I would be like, I would target a mob, right? And I'm like, okay, time to start fireball. And then some damn ass rogue would come around and hit it blah, 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 and kill it before the cast would even go off.
Oh, did you run into that a lot on the Isle? Like, I had it a lot when I was trying to do my dailies on the Isle of Quel'Danas. Well, like, I'd start casting, even like Immolation, which isn't that long of a spell, I'd start casting it, and then here comes a warrior from out of nowhere, charging.
So, yeah, there's a reason why my mage is in storage right now. She might come out. She might come out now with all the mage changes and all the tapping changes and all that stuff. It's like, okay, maybe I'll do it. But that annoyed me to no end that I would start casting something. Or, like, on my priest, you know, like, I would put Shadow Word Pain.
Oh, yeah.
And then it wasn't enough damage that it would tap it to me so that somebody, some overzealous hunter, always alliance because they can be jerks, and coming in and taking my mob. And then saying, oh, sorry, didn't see you. With the big freaking, you know, the big debuff on it, you know, with the skull screaming. But no, you didn't see it. That's fine.
No, he didn't see you. Of course, now you've got to deal with Death Grip Happy Death Knights.
Yeah.
Even I had to run into that, leveling my own Death Knight. I tried to apologize to people.
Freaking rip pallies.
But
yeah, the one thing that annoys me the most is being a hunter mainly, is I'll be on my hunter and I'll hunter's mark something. And then all of a sudden, I'll hunter's mark it and I'll set the pet to go attack it. It takes a little while. He doesn't, you know, whatever. It's just quick move is on cooldown or whatever. And somebody will hit it. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, there's a hunter's mark on it.
Hello, that's the same thing as putting an actual dot on it, exactly. Okay?
Well,
it's putting a dot on it saying, no, don't touch. This is my cupcake. Yeah. And the kid comes in and takes a bite out of your cupcake before it comes to you. And you're like, oh, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, if you see a hunter's mark on something and it's not yours and you go on and hit something, you might be an asshat.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just got lucky. I didn't run into a whole lot of that until I got to some of the early areas of Northrend.
Yep.
When I, yeah. So.
Yeah, it was. And also love but when you're killing something next to like an herb, and someone comes by and just takes the herb.
And they come in and take
excuse me, wait till I'm done killing. If I take the herb, then it's mine. If I don't, then you can have it. Just wait till I'm done.
Oh yeah, I give people huge radiuses when I see them killing a mob around anything that's a quest object. Yeah. Like if it's sparkling and they're within 20 yards of it fighting, I'm like, well, they might be on their way. I'll just go find a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll try to keep an eye, and I'm like, well, if they don't get it, I'm like, okay, well, they're not on that quest. I'll go back and get it. So.
Exactly.
That's right. So, what do you wish that they would have given the locks? I mean, they're giving you guys the instant tapping, so that's one wish gone.
The one thing I always joke about, which I know we're never going to get, summon Fel Reaver. I don't even want the full size one. I just want like a regular, normal size Fel Reaver, like when you did the Drunk Reaver quest up in Netherstorm. I want one of those. Barring that, maybe a toned down permanent demon form. That's kind of my wish list. So it would be something mild like Shadow form, maybe, but just that slight damage boost.
What about another type of
priest already? Come on now.
I tried to think of another kind of demon, and I really couldn't think of anything. I mean, we've got your DPS pet, we've got the poor neglected succubus.
Yeah.
Unless you really desperately need some crowd control, we've got the poor neglected voidwalker.
Or a cheap thrill.
I need to give you one that can heal you.
What? Yeah. No. Listen. Yeah,
like a hunter needs to get a pet that can heal him.
Yeah,
listen,
I need a pocket priest. Okay, that sounds good.
No, there needs to be limits, okay? Okay?
No. I want a hunter pet that can heal me. So if I can get one, why not the warlocks?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Sounds good.
No.
They kind of can do that already, though. Because some of the talents, you know, transfer their hits to the other, to the pet. So it's kind of.
Yeah, Soul Link.
Yeah. Have you ever been against a demonology?
I am a demonology. level 60.
Well, there you
go.
So then you already know you're OP. So then you don't need any more.
Oh,
okay?
No, 61. Sorry. 61. She's 61. I forgot. My cute little beehive wearing gnome warlock.
You know, and that's another thing. Gnome warlocks.
Oh, they're so cute.
I can't. You know, I was thinking about a warlock today. I was like, hey, you know, I haven't really, like, my highest warlock is 17. Nah. Right? Whatever. But the thought that my options are only human and gnome
warlocks are cool.
Really, really leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I might just roll a human just so I can get the plus 10%.
Yeah, that's good.
To rep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, if I was rolling one alliance side, I would have to go for the rep bonus because then I do actually look at the racials, but not like whole lot, but the intellect thing not really that beneficial when we can, you know, hit life tap and we've got life and mana.
I mean, I can appreciate that the gnomes look cute and all that, but they just don't do it for me, honestly. I have to look at the thing for hours on end, and I need to be able to enjoy it what I'm looking at, and I don't. Anybody who loves their gnomes, don't think I'm a total gnome hater and the whole bit. Everybody's entitled to your own opinion and to your own likes. That's why there's 10 races and all that stuff. You guys are not 10 races, but there's whatever. You guys are welcome to whatever you want. And that's fine, but gnomes are not for me.
I have tried rolling a gnome, and you know what gets me? The reason I can't play a gnome is I get really tired of tilting my camera up all the time.
I don't worry about that. I just stay way far back. What was really fun was I have my mage is a gnome and my warlock's a gnome, and they're on separate accounts.
We go off on over.
So I was dual boxing them. We were in Hellfire Ramparts, and I have them so that, you know, when I hit jump on one, it jumps on the other one. So I was wandering through, and these two little guys are bouncing through the whole
league. It's like it's like Mexican beans.
It is great. Jess
was
laughing the whole time.
Listen, you know what I can't do? I don't like how they run.
Yeah, they're kind of silly looking.
I don't like how they run. I don't like how they laugh. Their voices are too squeaky for me. These things do affect me. I'm sorry. I know I'm being anal, but that's just.
I have the sound on off all the time, so I have absolutely no idea.
I know you don't care
what noise it makes.
Oh, whatever. You. I think you guys were. Well, obviously you weren't there because the time that they had that major server outage and were bringing them up a few at a time, and I was on Maticus's server, and I rolled a Draenei, and I haven't played a Draenei since February. I have a level 45 shaman who's just idling because I can't go back to him. But I hadn't played a Draenei for a while, and I rolled a mage, and, you know, at like level 2, I'm casting a fireball until it walks up to me, and I'm smacking it with my staff. And they have a new attack animation since last time I played them, where they flip the staff in the air and then swing it at the enemy.
Yeah.
I had not seen that. I flipped out when I saw it. I was like, these show offs.
So now that we've gone
completely off
course.
Now
that we've gone on a total tangent about gnomes and Draenei and all that, let's get back to your lock. Your poor neglected lock.
I'll get back to him one day.
Yeah. Okay. Soon. So when you do get back to him, what glyphs are you going to put on him? What do you like? What do you do not like?
The warlock was a really strange situation in that I looked at all the glyphs and I realized that I liked the minor glyphs a lot more than I liked the major glyphs. Just because most of the major ones don't seem that super useful. You know, I have glyph of Shadow Bolt just because, you know, using less mana is always good, and spamming Shadow Bolt's pretty much what I do. Glyph of Corruption is one that I really liked because it allows me to take a few talent points I normally would have had in the affliction tree and put them somewhere else, and it just periodically gives me a free Shadow Bolt for doing what I do anyway, which is putting up dots. other than that, a lot of the minor ones are nice. Glyph of Drain Soul, just because dealing with soul shards is such a pain, that making two of them is nice every now and then. Glyph of Unending Breath, which gives a swim speed bonus just for having Unending Breath on. So 20% swim speed, and I can breathe underwater for 5 minutes. It's a great combination.
Mm-hmm.
So, My least favorite, though, is what Blizzard did to the Glyph of Souls. I threw a little hissy fit about that one, I'll admit. Because as one of the only warlocks in a 10-man raiding team, part of my goal is providing cookies, as they call them, or soul stones before, or the health stones before pretty much every boss battle. and I have the biggest soul bag that I can get, and I, even if I filled it up, I was still running out of soul shards by like the end of a raid, and I was having to go, hey guys, can we pull this pat that we avoided because I need to drain soul on it. So, and they were originally going to have Glyph of Souls make the Ritual of Souls, the one that gives everybody a health stone, so that it didn't cost a soul shard. I was like, thank you, this is a blessing for every raiding warlock. And right. Then they went, no, now it just decreases the mana cost by 70%. It's like 200 mana. It's
yeah. It's not really a concern with you guys, especially if you're doing it before you get into combat.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's a lot of like the glyphs that they did. Like, oh, we were going to reduce the cost of like of buffs that you give before you go into combat, which you mana up before you go into combat.
Yeah.
What's the point?
It's just silly. I like the ones that actually alter the way things work fundamentally. I think those are kind of cool, except when they alter things to make them less effective. Like, there's one for warlocks. What is it? Immolate. It decreases the initial damage, but it increases the amount that the dot does. But if you do the math, it does about 150 less damage.
Nice.
Yeah, they did the same thing for the Moonfire glyph for druids. The initial hit is less, and then it does more damage over time.
Yeah, I saw that. Of course, now I like one that druids are getting. The I don't even play a druid, and I like this glyph. The druid of Starfire, or I think it's Starfire or something like, or Glyph of Focus. It's got a weird name, but what it raises the damage of Starfire and tightens up the radius.
Yeah, that's the, so I've seen druids that's get the new thing that
the insane AOE. Like 30 yards in every direction.
Well, I think it's, I thought it was Starfall.
Or Starfall, yeah, excuse me. So that's the yeah, my bad. Starfall's the one I meant.
High end.
So. It's okay. He's forgiven because he doesn't have a druid.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I'm like, Starfire doesn't have an AoE.
Yeah.
Tighten up the radius from 0 to 0.
One of those star thingies.
The fall thing.
Just say it with that.
Fall, fire,
fire
thing.
Fall, fire, star thing.
You druids and your nature. Give me diseases and corruption any day.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so from what we can tell, you are a pretty big lover of achievements. Which ones are of the harder achievements have you gotten, if any?
If that makes sense. That's a tough one. I actually went looking through my achievements list for this, and a lot of the ones that I got aren't really the ones that are hard to get so much as they're time consuming, but for me, since I don't play on a PvP server, anything that brings me into contact with PvP I consider a hard achievement, like the fishing diplomat.
I agree.
The one where you have to fish up something in Orgrimmar and something in Stormwind. They are really bitchy about letting you just walk into the gate and fish something in Hearthhome. That it took me 4 corpse runs from the Eastvale logging camp before I finally swam up in one of those little things, like under the wall, you know, like one of those little, it's like a notch in the wall with a dirt pile in it. I stood in there and I fished and I hearthed just as I could see someone swimming up to come kill me again. So, or the King of the Fire Festival, which I actually did. obviously I got it before the achievement system even went into place. The one where you have to steal the 4 flames from the capital cities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That one was really fun to do, I'll admit. But the guards also weren't level 80 at the time. I pretty much rode my horse straight to the hardest one was Stormwind. I rode my horse straight to the fire in Stormwind, and then I let people kill me. And the funny thing was, there were at least 2 locks involved in killing me, so they should have known that if the corpse is still laying there, the warlock is probably going to stand back up. And I did. Stood back up, stole the fire, jumped into the canals, and did some total like stealth spy espionage action through the canals to get to the tram. It was pretty crazy. So that one was fun. The only other one, I think, because people think it sounds really easy, but it's really hard to do, is the Sickly Gazelle from Alterac Valley, when we have to kill somebody in the Field of Strife before they get off their horse. really hard to do. Because, it's probably going to be hard to do from melee, because if you hit somebody from the wrong direction, you knock them off their mount, because you daze them. I just happened to get a lucky crit off a chaos bolt, during the 2 weeks that I was destruction, and just killed a guy flat out who didn't have very many hit points. So. Other than that, it's pretty much I do achievements because I have spare time, and I'm like, well, I haven't seen, say, the end of Oldemont, so I'm going to force two of my guildies to go do this with me, or the time that I knew some people nice. Wanted to do the Leroy achievement. And I was like, but nobody in the guild has a key to get to Upper Blackrock, and nobody's going to spend the time to do it. So I actually, that was one of the other reasons that I spec demonology, is I soloed Lower Blackrock Spire so that I could get into Upper Blackrock Spire so that my guildies could come do Leroy with me.
Yeah. Did the same thing.
That was fun.
Now, talking about soloing and stuff, I did that on Bree. And that reminds me that I installed Viper Watch today.
Oh.
And it's working great. And for our listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, stop here. Wrote a add-on that is very useful for hunters, because it tells you when to switch back to Hawk or to switch to Viper if your mana is low, and when to switch back if it's already at 100% or whatever. And so... how did you come up with it? And I actually have a question from Euripides that he wants me to ask you about Viper Watch.
Oh, okay. Well, I came up with it for Fimless.
look at that!
It is actually from a direct quote when we were sitting in BA chat one day. He said that he always forgot to switch out a Viper, and he said, quote, "I wish I had something to nag me to switch back." So that's pretty much
all I wanted to do with it. All the time now.
Yep,
because it's online. He just goes Twitch.
You know what? Because I installed it, right? So then I hear the fail sound. I'm like, what did I fail?
I actually picked that noise because I figured it was something that most people probably don't hear that often, so it gets your attention.
Can you add like your own sounds? Like if you recorded like Switch now or some stupid thing like that, could you add that in? Instead of it being the other one, because a lot of times I hear that noise and I'm like, "What's that noise?"
What did I fail? Yeah, I've thought about switching it to another noise, but
I'm sorry. Stop. Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. I was thinking about switching it to another noise, but I couldn't really find one that I liked, and so I went for one that reminded me that I was busy failing by Viper on.
You should have
seriously.
Oh, you know what may be good from Indiana Jones. Like snakes. Why does it always have these snakes or something like that?
Have these snakes.
For when you have to turn Viper off.
Yeah, I swear, the first time I heard it, I didn't notice that, because the text is white and I was in the middle of like where Dragon the Blight. In the airstrip where everything's white, so I didn't see it. And I'm like, what did I fail? I'm not on any quest that's like an escort or anything.
Oh, I'm making people paranoid.
And then I was like, oh, it's the add-on. And then I noticed that I was out of mana. I was like, oh, okay, he's got a switch.
Yeah. Maybe have a choice of sounds or something.
Yeah, I can easily make a choice of sound. Probably it'd just be a drop-down listing the sounds or configuration. Yeah,
it might that's be easy. Cool to just include one that's awesome. Like a unique one, so that something that you wouldn't expect, and therefore you go,
or like a big bang.
Yeah, I worry about that, because I worry that sounds that might be entertaining to me might annoy other people.
Well, like I said, you could have it optional. So.
Bug sack on, or swatter, one of those two, but the default sound is like this teeny tiny high-pitched voice yelling fatality whenever there's an error. Like, like even if you type in run and you mess something up, no, it sounds like a female gnome.
Yeah.
Because I'll type in the run command and I'm like, well, let me try to guess what a function name is. And I'll type run and I'll type something in, and all of a sudden I hear fatality.
Yeah, I was having that too. I had the
it's
exact. I don't
horrible.
Know what add-on is that does that.
It's it's either swatter or bug sack.
I think it's bug sack. Yeah, I had bug sack for a while, although bug sack was been. Bugged for me recently. Maybe they fixed it since then. But yeah, the same idea. It would always go fatality, and I was like, "Oh, what the? Oh yeah, I know what that is."
Yeah.
As soon as I log in.
But the problem is, I was looking at it the other day, and I think it updated or something, and I don't see the option to switch it in the configuration menu anymore. So now I have to live with the fatality noise, because I did have it turned off for a while, because it was pretty easy when you look at it. When the sack turns red, you have a bug.
Yeah.
But
now it's when the also there was one quest, one, I don't know what quest mod I had, that would say, like, quest complete or whatever. Whenever you finish the quest, yeah. And whenever you log in or open the quest or something, it would say it. It was like, oh my goodness.
Oh, I had one that like an orc would talk to me. Yeah. You know, like in the original Warcraft,
quest complete.
Like voices. Job done, yeah. Something like that.
Oh, and, yeah.
Okay, so let me get to Rip's question before. This will be our last last question.
Okay.
So Euripides from Critical QQ wrote in and said, I use Viper Watch on my hunter, and I absolutely love it to pieces. Essentially allows me to ignore my mana bar completely, freezing my attention for other things like mashing the one button and watching my gorilla punch stuff. It would be sheer awesome, for instance, if I could use the same mod for, say, my mage. I would be more than happy with merely the option to customize warning text and the number of warnings there are. For instance, as a mage, I would be interested to know when I hit a mana level where I can gain 100% benefit from a mana gem, and when I hit about 35-ish mana for use of Evocate. So I was wondering if you would ever consider adopting the mod so that it would work with other mana bar users.
Hmm. That is a very interesting question. I never really considered it, because my only two mana using classes are the Warlock, where I can get mana back, and the Hunter, where I keep trying to life tap, and instead it mends pet.
switch to a Viper when you.
Yeah, I tell my Warlock to switch to aspect of the Viper.
There you go.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, it would be a lot more work, and I'm not going to say no, I wouldn't consider it. In the meantime, I'm going to plug the add-on that I use for other things, and I'm going to plug Power Auras, which you can find on WoW Interface by looking for Power Auras Classic. Despite the name, it does work with Wrath. In fact, it was rewritten to work with Wrath. Basically, it allows you to check just about any condition and display a graphical symbol on screen, usually a circle, which I guess is where the name came from, but... for things like that, you could have it monitor your own, monitor for the mana level where you would most advantage from popping a mana gem, and then when you hit that, it would pop up, you could have like a picture of a mana gem, things like that. So
yep.
You can use any of the built-in WoW textures, or it comes with its own set. It's pretty thorough. You can even, if you don't like Viper Watch, if you don't like being nagged, you can use Power Auras to do the same thing.
I'm using both. I have Power Aura up, so I have that piece that pops up when I'm low on mana, even before Viper Watch kicks in to tell me. So it's just a kind of a warning. And then when I'm full mana, I have a different one that pops up to show that I'm full mana. And then I also have one for when I'm about to die. That's just real red. Blob in the middle of the screen, like, it's like, oh no, feign death.
I always tell people, I'm like, oh, I don't use it that much. And then I get to thinking about the sheer number of them that I have set up. And I only recently discovered that you can make them depend on each other, where, one aura won't come on unless another one does. Like, I had one aura set up since my Death Knight's unholy, going back to my Death Knight, I wanted to keep Bone Shield up as much as I could. So I have one aura that tells me when I can cast Bone Shield, and one that tells me when I don't have Bone Shield on me.
Yep.
And they only appear if both of them are active. Yep. So.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff you can do with it.
Yep. I also used it a lot in raids with my Warlock, just to make sure I wasn't overriding someone's Soulstone. If I targeted someone and they had a Soulstone on them, a big pink upwards arrow appeared on my screen, and I'm like, nope, pick a different healer.
That works.
Oh. That's cool. I'll check that out too. So, then actually, this is our real last question.
Okay.
Real, real, real last.
The final, final question.
Yeah. And this one's from Jess, from Lady Jess. Okay.
Okay.
And it's a really important question. All right.
Okay.
And this is regarding your Death Knight, because she really wanted to know.
Okay.
All right. Does your Death Knight wear, and I know she didn't know this, but your Death Knight's a female troll, but But still, you know, it could apply. She wants to know whether she wears boxers, briefs, or is commando.
I assume that she is probably sporting boxers because plate does not look very comfortable to go in anything less than as much underneath it as you can get. Frankly, plate mail doesn't look comfortable, and you know what? It's cold in Northrend. None of the above. She's wearing long johns.
There you go. Red ones, right?
Yes. And that is why can't wear that armor that Ratter's paladin wears. She has to wear full plate because otherwise the long johns are showing.
Oh, there you go. Guess it's
they like the red ones with the little the little opening in the back.
No comment.
It's like, I gotta go potty, excuse me.
gotta unbuckle all the plate. Open the door.
Oh, it's too much work.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, okay. My mind's going off.
Tangents.
Many tangents. Yeah, reel it in.
Okay.
Come back to a spree.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying, your mind was rolling off in a different direction. Come back to a spree.
Oh, yes, it definitely was that. Going all over the place. So, yeah, we're at an end.
Oh, so sadly. So quick.
Yeah, it's almost an hour. Amazingly enough.
Yeah, I know.
Keeps goes fast, by. As everybody
it,
said.
It went by so fast. And so thank you so much, Stop. It was awesome speaking to you finally in voice to voice.
Oh, yeah, it's an honor.
And it was a great deal of fun, so thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Hello there, this is Leela Turkey from the Epic Dolls Podcast, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
We have it all figured out. Step one, we land the Exodar. Step three, we defeat Legion and go home. There is only one detail missing.
I have waited long enough.
Okay, so we wanted... These are our hot topics for this week.
Yes.
And...
They're hot.
They're hot. Hot pockets.
They're hot topics. Hot pockets of the week. What you got in your hot pockets?
Okay, why didn't you say the first one, Phil?
So, congrats to Lasira at the Hunter's Mark for having her second blogiversity.
Woohoo!
I'm not going to sing, as usual.
Yeah, we won't sing. But we won't sing. Congratulations. The Hunter's Mark is a iconic Hunter's blog full of fun tidbits of information that you should go on because yeah. It's very good.
Does that mean that she uses a lot of icons on her site?
No, she's very minimalist actually. No. But it's chock full of great information.
So
if you're a hunter who's been reading blogs, you know about her. But if not, yes. If you're just starting out, she's an excellent resource. So
yes, I would suggest very, going out there. Very good.
Yeah. And then, again, congratulations. Many more. Yay. We wish for many more years. And Chain Trap from Chain Trap. he wrote a really cool post that was actually funny because I know that we've touched on this on several different points, but he was lamenting. He wrote a post lamenting about how things are now in terms of how people are running instances and such that people are forgetting how to properly CC and use the myriad of skills that they learned before, and that they're getting rusty or forgetting that or not even learning it because we're having this new wave of people who haven't played the game prior to Lich. And don't really know about all these other techniques that people used to rely on to do heroics or do five-mans or do raiding. And that he's afraid that they're just going to become noobs. And they're going to be doing their training in the middle of raids because they don't know how to properly CC or doing chain trapping or anything like that. So I wanted to see what your feedback was on that.
Well, I don't know. I think... That it
I kind of agree. I think that, you know, there's people that don't, that haven't spent a lot of time learning this stuff. And the stuff is pretty, you know, the newest content, the newest instances and such are pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So I think you will get a lot of people who kind of come in and don't really know how to do certain things. But I think what it's going to be up to the raid leaders. I mean, they're going to have to say, you know, we can't bring you if you don't know, or if you're not doing enough DPS or whatever. I mean, you know, they're going to have to, there's going to be class leads that are going to have to get involved. The guild leader, the raid leaders. And if these people can't play that class, they can't play their class, they don't know how to, they can't trap or they can't whatever. You know, they're going to have to learn, or they're not going to be included in the raids.
So then where do they learn? You see, that's the thing, you know, like,
I gotta go find BRK and bug him to teach him.
But, I mean, the thing, yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, you know, like, I think for a lot of players right now, it's pretty much like, please don't get over dramatic or whatever, because they already know how to do these things. Like, even though I may not be CCing or whatever in the instances I'm in, I know how to CC. But, if I were to start playing this game now, like if I were to start playing how I started when I first got into WoW, that I didn't know anything, you know, if you are not forced into situations where you are forced to do things,
yep.
Then how are you supposed to learn? I mean, just having a raid leader tell you really need to learn how to CC, I'm gonna be how do I start doing that?
Well, that's where in at least in larger guilds, a lot of them have things like class leads. In which case, then, you know, the class leads, it's a responsibility to make sure that this person gets, you know, the training they need. If they have to put together some kind of class or, you know, whatever to say, hey, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to learn to kite things here. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn to chain trap here. You know, let's go into a BC instance. And, you know, we see these mobs, you know, since they're probably not going to hurt us too bad, let's go in and, you know, teach you how to, chain trap or to use if you're a marksman, to figure out how to use your stings to the best capabilities you are. I mean, a lot of people, the other thing is, you know, you use the blogs as a resource. And that's, a lot of people learn from reading these blogs and they go, hey, I didn't know you could do that. How do you do that? And the blog says, this is how you do it. So, you know, or you ask in forums or, you know, I think that's where you're going to end up getting it. And it's really, like I said, I think a lot of it is going to be up to the people putting together the raids to make sure the people who are in it understand their class and their role within the raid.
Yeah. I think also what's going to happen is that people need to start actually paying attention to who they're bringing into the raid, because I think people have the assumption, and it's a misconception right now, that if you're 80 or you're ready to go into the raid, or they, you know, you've been leveling or whatever, that you're aware of all these different things that you need to be doing. And they may not be, you know, they may not understand the concept of being able to CC properly, of being able to, you know, CC away, like how to CC in a manner that it's not going to get trapped up with thunderclaps or that blood and whatever thing that the Death Knights do, and you know, all that other stuff that you need to learn when you're in charge of doing that. And CC is just one option, one aspect. I mean, aggro management, I mean, I know that they're saying that it's not as important as it used to be, but still knowing how far you can push it.
Yeah, I can still pull a mob off a tank if I'm going crazy.
Exactly. So people need to understand these concepts that I think that you're saying raid leaders and other people in authority in the guilds really need to be aware to notice that when people are doing these things, that they're pulling or they're not CCing correctly or they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, it may not be that they're just being jerks. It may be that they don't even know, because they probably leveled and not had to have even used any of these concepts before, which is a little scary, you know?
We had a player who actually didn't have his enemy cast bar on, you know, the target cast bar.
No.
And so he kept asking, "Well, how do you guys know they're going to do this? And how do you know that's going to happen?"
Uh-huh.
And we're like, So
But But that exactly.
was kind of like, you know, it wasn't even like he was bad doing what he was supposed to be doing. He just didn't know when because, you know, vent is laggy, so he wouldn't really hear it when it was going off. So, you know, now that he has that, he's much better at doing his job in the raid.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing difference. It really is.
Absolutely. But that's the thing. Like, I think that, and I know this isn't a new thing, okay? Because, yes, it's a little bit more glaring now with the fact that the instances are a little bit easier and that people aren't CCing as much. But I think that there is that history that people assume that you know more than you really do. Because I remember, myself, different situations where people were doing things, and I'm like, how are you guys doing this or whatever? Like, I remember reading one time in Ego's site that she's like, I won't go into an instance with anybody who doesn't have an assist button. And yep. I'm like, what the hell's an assist button? Like, I always tabbed. Like, I always clicked on the, like, I always tabbed to, like, where the skull was, whatever it was marked, and that's how I got. So I had no concept of an assist button. It was only until very recently, like in the last 6 months, probably 8 months, that I started using focus or whatever and this and that. But it took me a long time to get to those concepts, and I consider myself somebody who's been, you know, like, I'm aware of most of the concepts that are going on. But now with somebody that's coming into this, you know, I think that we need to be aware that, even more aware than before, that people are not going to have the same level of knowledge of what to do in certain situations because they haven't been presented those situations at all while they were leveling.
Yep. No, I agree.
Okay. So, on to the next. This actually was shown to me this week by Lady Jess, who found this from a site called One Rogue's Journey, okay? And the author of that site, Zentar, actually created this awesome WordPress plugin that actually shows your achievements in WoW.
Yeah.
For a specific character or whatever server you decide. And it's very cool. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the most recent five.
Yeah, the most recent five achievements that you've had on that tomb. And it's very cool, very easy to set up. So if you have a self-hosted WordPress blog, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can download it from his site and you'll be able to see it. I have it on my site, Lady Jess has it on hers. You can also see it on BRK's. And also on Fim's site. It's very cute, very nice, and it's very easy to play with. So you can get a feel for it. It's also on, obviously, OneRogue'sJourney.com.
Yes.
He wrote it.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So it's very cool, and we'll put the link there.
Yep. And if you have a plugin that also does WoWhead pop-ups, it will do that too. Like mine, I have WoWhead pop-ups enabled. And since the links there point to WoWhead for the achievements, when you mouse over the ones on mine, it will show you the tooltip for the achievement.
Yeah. So yeah, I forgot about that. That's very cool. And also, if anybody knows of any other cool WoW plugins that I'm not aware of, that would just send them in.
Yes. WordPress, Blogger, wherever.
Yeah. Because I'm a plugin fiend, and I like I like gadgets.
And you know, if you have a Blogger plugin, Bree will start a blogger.com blog just so she can play with the plugin.
Yeah. Actually, I already have one.
Well, there you go. She's got one already set up. She can.
So then I will, there actually. You go. Just send it to me, because yes. I like to play with it. Yeah.
Bree will review your plugin and tell you if it's good. Anyway, I think that's all the topics we have for today.
Yep.
And now for something completely different. Thanks to a call out from our guest last week, Big Red Kitty. If you missed it, go listen. It was awesome. We have a special new segment this week. He took up the call to arms. He performed above the call of duty. And now The Twisted Nether Blogcast proudly presents the Orc News of the Week.
You have 6 different smiles. One for when you're angry. One for when you tear flesh. One for when you chew flesh. One for when you loot bodies. One for when you skin game. And one for when you want to kill something.
I need both hands for my weapon. I can't do that here.
You'll do. Let's go.
This is Ratshag of Need More Rage, coming to you on the Twisted Nether blogcast with some of this week's updates. First off, Warsong Hold in the Borean Tundra. What a clubber-nubbin' nemess. I've said it before, or I'll say it again. Them Warsong Kooks is a bunch of ninnies. They went and set up their main base of operation right on top of a Nerubian colony. Now they got Nerubians stealing their supplies, kidnapping their guards, chewing on the support cables, and digging mines under the foundation. What a mess. Great googly moogly. Now, I'd like to say them Warsongs got themselves into that mess. They can get themselves out of it. But the truth is, the Borean Tundra is important to the Horde's strategic interests in Northrend, and we cannot allow them to fail there, no matter how hard they try. Therefore, any of you Hordies who haven't had a chance to get to the Borean Tundra yet, I'd take it as a personal favor if you'd get over there and lend them ninnies a hand. Thank you. Next, I'd like to talk about Hunters and the recently announced nerf. Now, nobody likes getting nerfed. You don't like it when it happens to you. You don't like it when it happens to your friends. And I've seen a lot of numbers on this. I've seen a lot of hyperbole. But when it all comes down, I'm pretty sure that Hunters will still be bringing massive quantities of fugger-lubbin' damage to the table. And they'll still be bringing some pretty nifty crowd control. And I'd be happy to have one of them at my back, long as you don't bring one of them damn rhinos into the instance. Next, we got Gaylor Truby with some financial tips on how to maximize your profits on the auction house. Thank you, Gaylor Truby, for those fine insights. And now we return you to Fimless and Bree and the rest of the Twisted Nether blogcast.
You had me at Zug Zug.
Chugga 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 chugga.
Hi, this is Merdrick from Treebound Cat with a public service announcement from the Blog Azeroth chat room. Jess is awesome. Thank you.
Clever mortals, but I am not so easily lured away from my sanctum.
So we're time for the mail. We got a couple emails this week. Thank you for all of your guys' emails. The questions we've had, though, are from Paul, also known as Dos Equis. I guess he likes his beer. and he asks, he sent us a long email, but really the question is here. He sent us an email thanking us for having a rogue on, because AC's a rogue. And he asks, have you all heard anything about the dual spec capability? I'm really hoping Blizzard does this, because after spending 400 gold on just trying to figure out what Blizzard did with my talent trees, I really don't want to spend 100 gold a night trying to switch from PvP to PvE every day.
Yeah, actually, you know, I know that they've been talking about, I actually read something not too long ago, I think it was last week, prior to the latest patch going on the PTR, that they were hoping to have it out with the next major patch, which is the 3.1 patch, which is supposed to have that new instance and the whole thing. They are including in that, from what I gathered from when I read the Blue Note, is that they're going to incorporate also glyphs into it. And that is going to take, they're hoping to get it out during that patch, but if it's not ready, it's not ready. So, be hopeful for 3.1. If not, I would expect it the next patch after that, probably 3.2. So it's coming out soon in the sense that it's on the horizon.
They're really working on it.
Yeah, they're really working on it. I expect it sooner than later. It's just going to take a little time.
Yeah, but one of the things I heard was that, or that I read, probably in the same release, same blue post.
Yeah,
was that in town? Respecing is supposed to be trivial, so I assume that's in all the major towns. You know, while you're rested, whatever that means. Trivial means clicking a button. I don't know. Supposedly out of town, it is not going to be as trivial, but you'll still be able to do it between combat even or whatever. So I would think that either it's going to be some like reagent you need or going to cost some gold or something. I mean, really how could you make it non-trivial, but still be able to do it between fights?
To be a reagent or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or some monetary cost or something that you give to the Tooth Fairy, so that you
Fairy.
or to the Talent Fairy, so you can respec.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you got to like jump up three times, turn around, and do a slash clock or something, and you can change specs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping.
Forward to it for my priest and my druid.
Yeah.
I don't think I really care that much for the hunter, although it would be nice if I do switch to marksman, being able to swap back and forth. But then what are they going to do with like pets? Like if you have a pet that has the extra points or you have
what's going to happen is that you won't be able to summon that pet.
Pet with 4 points is going to lose those 4 points though. Yeah, they're going to have to re-respect every time.
Yeah. You will, probably. Or they'll save the I don't know what they're going to do with the pets' talents. They're probably going to have to
refund them
and then you reattach them. And then I know that this is an issue with people that move from BM, deep BM, like they get exotic pets, and they move to a non-exotic pet spec, that the pet becomes unusable. So you need to make sure, if you're going to do this, that you don't have an exotic with you in an instance or whatever. Because then you can't bring them out. And you don't have a stable master to swap them out with. So you want to make sure about that. But that, I guess those are little things that we'll figure out as well.
See, that's the other thing they should do, is they should allow you to swap your pet at any time too.
I wish.
If they're going to do that, then that's really what they should add that too, because that's a big thing.
If you're
switching from BM to marksman and you want to switch from your rhino to something else, you know, I mean, you should be able to do that without having to run back.
Did you hear about the pack mule thing?
I saw something about it, but is it real?
I don't know, but the concept is very cool.
Yeah, being able to get stuff from your bank.
It's supposed to be some pack mule that you summon, and it allows you for like a 3 minutes or something to be able to get a maximum of like 3 items from your bank. Because I know this has happened to me and probably to everybody else in the world, that you have some quest item that you accidentally put in your bank, and your quest continues to show complete. But every time you try and turn it in, it's because you can't, because the item is in your bank and not with you, and you're in the middle of nowhere.
Mage and no warlock.
No, exactly. I really wish that they would allow us to stable our pets wherever we were. Because the idea that, like, I know this is among all hunters, we all have the same frustration where you're going to go and tame a pet and you have to run around petless for who knows how long until you find the pet that you want to be able to tame. Because you can't, or you tame a temporary pet to abandon to then get the other one. I wish you can swap out pets without having to run around to a stable master. Because like if you're going to an instance from like the middle of questing, the instance is right there, then you have to backtrack to the nearest town that has a stable master to get your DPS pet from your tanking pet. It's just a pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, pet peeve. Sorry.
That's okay. Understood.
Yeah.
So our next email is from Mizey.
Mizey, who was actually Mizey. The winner of our Why is Breeze Rhino named Nano?
Nano.
Yes.
Did I say on the podcast what mine was named? Yes,
yes
I did.
You did last week.
And I didn't have to ask people why, because I told them.
That's right. You spilled That's right. the beans.
I spilled the beans.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So
he wrote us and told us that he actually was answering your call.
Yes.
For a guide. And it says, I'm sure you guys already have a guide for leatherworking to point to already, but in case you don't, I wrote one about a week ago. It's quick and simple and meant for leveling Northrend Explorer. So I will put that link to his guide in the show notes. Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it quite a bit. And I said before I made it to 440, so I'm done with leveling it, which I'm happy with.
Yay.
But yeah. Did I ever say what I named my wolf?
No.
I never said what I named my wolf. Did I tell you what I named? I think I did.
No. What?
I named my wolf Huckleberry.
No, that's a cool name though.
Because he's a Vicryl Blight Hound. Huckleberry. Yeah. See, I can't just put out the call because I gotta explain it. So he's my Huckleberry Hound.
Oh, that's cool though. I like that name though. So, really,
yeah,
it fits.
He's pretty cool. Yeah, I love that. It. Everybody in the guild's like, oh, Huckleberry's here. They were so excited when he got to 80. Actually, I think they weren't really excited that he got to 80 because they wanted him to get to 80. They're excited he got to 80 because I could stop bringing the queen bee in all the instances and get in their way, and they couldn't click and everything.
Oh,
so.
did you see that BRK got your queen bee?
I know, I saw the Ninja Megs. Of course.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny. So, but anyway, yeah, Huckleberry. So, anyway,
Congrats to Huckleberry for hitting 80.
Yes, Huckleberry likes being 80. He does pretty good DPS.
Awesome.
Not as good as BRK does with any of them because I'm just not as serious as he is, I guess. But he does pretty well.
That's awesome. At least he's awesome to look at.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
I like him. He has a little breath, like BRK says. I actually looked at it. It's like poof, poof. And one of our mages was like, she likes standing on top of him because then her breath goes poof. Because she like stands right in on top of him, like where her face is like right on his face.
Really?
It's the same height.
And like her breath comes out. She's a gnome, isn't she?
What?
She's a
gnome. No, she's not. This thing's pretty big. But she's a female human, so she's kind of small.
No way.
Short female human.
No way.
So, I don't know. Somehow she stands on it or sits on it or something.
Oh, she must sit on it.
Maybe she's
no
sitting
way
and drinking.
She could be that small.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe she got a shrinking potion.
All right. I want screenshots or it never happened. Okay.
She told me. I don't know. Okay. I didn't watch. I don't pay attention to my pet, what he's doing when you know, he's not fighting for me. It's his free time, you know. He's got to have his alone time, you know, his own space. He is kind of a demonic wolf, so you know, I don't want to get in his claw or anything.
You want to get in his business.
On, yeah, our friendship is based on mutual admiration. And, I don't get his business. He doesn't get my business. We're all good.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, that's not really mail, but yeah. So that's all the mail this week we're going to go through. If you want to send us some more, that'd be awesome. And next up is the end of the show.
Woo-hoo.
I think that's all we got. So
okay, yep. All right.
We'll be back in a second to say goodbye.
Hey, this is Felicia Day, and you're listening to Twisted Nether Blogcast.
I will crush and destroy and, ooh, shiny.
We're the end of the show. I think I just
it's
said that.
It's the end.
It's the end Sad. Of the world as we know it.
So we have Twitter.
Twitter. We've been Twitterified.
Twitterified.
Eyes. Twitterified. Eyes. No, just Twitterized. No, something like that.
I don't know.
We're on Twitter. it's at http://twitter.com patreon.com/twistednether.
So,
and then we also, in addition to that, and you can follow that, we'll have, like, when we post, we'll put stuff up there and maybe some other stuff. I don't know. I have it, whether it's going to be updated all that often. At least you'll know when new podcasts come out.
And who will be coming next week.
Yep. And we'll try to be, we'll be putting those up on, we'll put the podcast up whenever they come up. And I think on Wednesdays, we'll put up a call for questions for next week's guest. If you would like to, and you can reply via Twitter and just say, these are the questions, these are the questions.
Or, if you don't want to send us email, you can send us questions or stuff via Twitter too.
Yes, exactly. You can Twitter us and et cetera. Yes, it sounds naughty. sounds like something Leafy would say.
I want to get him a shirt that says, I'm grinding science pixie rep.
Yes, I think he already has one. I don't know. Anyway, we also have a new email address. Instead of having to send mail to fimless@twistednether.net or brie@twistednether.net or both, you can send mail to info@twistednether.net, and that will send mail to both of us. Mm-hmm. Magic. It's magic.
Yes.
Just like it's crystallized fire. It's magic.
Or crystallized life. Yeah.
Crystallized life. That's, I don't know. I could see that.
I could believe crystallized fire faster than I can life.
It's all unbelievable to me. If you have a question, tip, blog, or post you think we should check out, we say that every week, let us know. And you can contact us at info@twistednether.net. Mm-hmm. Or call us on our hotline. We need some more calls on the hotline, guys. 206-203-4546. I might have to call myself and leave a message on the hotline. Make sure it's working. Maybe it's not working. Okay. If it's not working, tell us. We'll probably play your question on the air.
Yep. And, our website is at twistednether.net. You can check out our forums at Blogs Atheroth, and you can also check out the Twistednether Wiki at wiki.twistednether.net. You can have a look. If you find that one of your blogs, if your blog or one of your favorites is not listed, then send us an email at wiki@twistednether.net with the subject line TMB. Wiki and one of our Wikibarians, see, I got that, Kestrel, most likely, will send an update as soon as he's able to get to it. And we thank Kestrel again, profusely, for all his help.
Yes. And if you listen to us via iTunes, leave us a comment there, please. We like comments. Who we got next week, Bree?
Next week, we actually have Kay and Flo from Married in Real Life. They are actually the co-GMs for, I can't pronounce the guild's
Circle.
Name. Ethereal Circle, yeah. Which is the guild for BRK, Temerity Jane, Ratters, a bunch of bloggers.
Yes.
A bunch of bloggers who actually, well, a bunch of players who blog.
Dumilius is in there too? I think so.
And they are bloggers themselves. I've been reading Kay's blog for a long time, actually, before they merged into Married in Real Life. And it's going to be a fantastic time to talk to both of them. We're going to have both of them on. So we're going to have plenty of questions about what it's like running a guild with the insane people that they have bloggers who are bloggers. What it's like running a raiding guild, what it's like being married and running a guild while they're playing the game. So it's going to be tons of fun. So if you have questions for the Squeaky Priestie and her hubby, send them on over.
Yes, definitely. And that's all we got for the week.
Yep.
We will see you next week.
See you next week, guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Mike Morheim, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
Well, that could be very important news, eh?
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Screw that up. Hold on. Even though they tell you not to press the red button, because the world will end, you can press it.
I'm ready.
Go stop.
Yield. Spot wrote. Stop.
Spot. See, Spot.
You know
right.
what it is?
Right, Spot.
No,
right.
Stop. Shut up. Listen. Good you know spot. What it is? It's, I don't want to hear it. It's late. My head hurts. Listen. There's this guy in my guild that his name is Spotlight, and I call him a Spot.
You call
so
him
then
Stop.
Anyway, it's a dyslexia talking. Okay, anyways. Oh, and I apologize if you guys hear faint singing. My neighbors are having some jam session next door.
It's not me. I'm not singing back here.
I can't hear it.
It's not me.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys hear singing, I apologize. It's Drunken Stupors next
Drunk
door.
Drunken Stupors.
Anyway,
back.